Are we ready? We got started a little late on the dinner, but I'm grateful for the barbecue. Thank you, Eric and Deacons, for coordinating this. Thank you, guys. I'll give you guys a hand to set up. Thank you for everybody that helped with that. And grateful. Well, tonight, Nathan and I want to give you some insight on where we've been as a church, where we're going. And if you probably don't have a bulletin with you, but I happen to have one here. On the back of the bulletin, we print for you every week. And I'm sure you've read this and you've memorized it while you're bored during a sermon or something. You've read this. But, Not a chance. Look at that. Well, on the back are these statements that we've just tried to, or Nathan has really helpfully distilled down about our passion, our purpose, and our priorities as a church. And what we're going to say tonight is going to really hang around that. So let me just read these to you. And they're simple. Our passion as a church is to spread the message of God's grace to as many people as possible and to disciple believers in Christian maturity and joyful service. It really kind of covers all the bases. That's our passion. New believers, disciple believers, busy believers, serving the Lord. Now, you can say that our purpose is to know Jesus ourselves, to glorify Jesus, and to enjoy Jesus forever. All right, that's right out of the Westminster Confession, right? As the chief end of man is to know God and enjoy Him forever. So we built that into what we want to say, what we want to be as a church. That's not only biblical, but that's helpful. But you've heard us say, and I preached a series earlier this year about our priorities as a church. And so we have five basic priorities of the church that we derive right out of Scripture. And so I won't re-preach that series to you and where all that came from, but here they are. It's fellowship. These are a little bit out of order, but fellowship, discipleship, service, worship, and evangelism. That's the order actually we're going to go in tonight, because we want to just take each of those five categories of fellowship and discipleship and service and worship and evangelism and just spend a few minutes, not a long time, but just a few minutes thinking about these questions at our dinner here. We want to ask, where have we been as a church? Where are we now? And where are we going? Okay, so those three questions are going to come back again and again and again in each of these five categories of fellowship and discipleship and service and worship and evangelism. We're going to work our way through that again and again. So just to start us off tonight, we'll start with a flow chart. How do you like flow charts? Oh, all the nerds. Okay. This is part of the flow chart. And if you can't read this, I'll describe it to you here, or if you're just listening to the audio, I know some will be listening. This is our kind of a current flowchart of how people come into the church and then what happens once you come into Grace Church. It's just a snapshot of how our church has worked over the past years, okay? That the Sunday worship service, this is very, very top box, the worship service is what we mean by that just that single word worship. And that arrow pointing down into it is just a visual way to represent the idea that the Sunday worship service has been the primary means of people coming into the church, okay? And once you come into the church, if you want to go and press toward membership, then you move toward the Discovering Grace class. That's our membership class. We've retitled that. Hopefully, it's helpful that way. But then once you come in through Discovering Grace and you become a member of the church, you begin to move into these other basic areas of ministry. Now, there's a lot of things in these lower boxes and ovals here. It's pretty simple, but as you move out of Discovering Grace on the left here into groups, like fellowship groups, we began, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. You move into the life of the church, fellowship groups and men's prayer groups and women's small groups and the youth group. And simultaneously, and there's movement between these boxes here as well, or these ovals, into classes. We have classes like Sunday school classes, and we're going to talk about some more classes, things we want to offer as well. But and then further down underneath classes and programs is discipleship. Sometimes one-on-one discipleship, and we use a curriculum for that. But what you're doing is you're coming in from the outside at the very top, and as you flow down the chart, you're coming into the worship service, you're becoming a member, you're getting more integrated, you're getting involved in groups and classes, and even maybe all the way down into discipleship, really, really involved. Okay? Those are pretty much our current ministry structure. This is how people really kind of flow through our church. And so before we are done tonight, I'm going to point out to you that we need to create some more entry points for people to come into the life of the church, okay? So we'll come back to that. But to begin, let's begin moving through these five categories. I'm going to hand it to Nathan here, and we're going to walk you through these five priorities, and we're going to highlight some areas for emphasis that we want to make over the next year, and which will develop into years as beyond that.
All right. Well, as we go through these, we've stacked them in an order for strategy tonight of emphasis. So we don't want you to think that any of the five priorities are more important or less important than any of the others, because each priority comes from Scripture, and we are responsible for them all. So that means we have to emphasize them all. And we want to do that in a way that from year to year, we may have to prioritize one over another, but we should be constantly working at all five. So the first one we want to hit on tonight is fellowship. And the print that you'll see there in yellow is also printed in your bulletin every week. And this is the simple definition of what we mean by fellowship. And that in this case is the foster committed relationships for sharing life together. And the idea here is that as a church, God has brought us together as a family, and as a family, we need to work at our relationships. Within the church, there may be people that we really feel a close affinity to, and there may be other people that we try to avoid. But this is the family that God has called us to and that we want to work at. So where have we been with fellowship? Well, as a church, this has been an area that needed to be addressed for quite some time. With our primary entry point being the worship service, we needed to connect beyond that. And I think, helpfully, where we are now is we have two men's prayer groups. We have four ladies' Bible studies. We have some other Bible studies that have started. And we also began four fellowship groups this past year. And we told you at the beginning that this first year was just sort of to set the pattern and the expectation, but that it was just the beginning. And the reason for that is because there's much growth and work to be done in the fellowship group area. So where are we going next? Very simply, we need to recruit and train new group leaders. So what that means specifically, this year we had elders as fellowship group leaders. We believe other qualified people can serve as fellowship group leaders. So I will be coming to some of you to recruit you this year, specifically this summer, and to train you to be a fellowship group leader. And what we would like to do is, secondly, we would like to deepen the relationships throughout the church through more groups and smaller groups. So the reason we need additional leaders is so we can go from a fellowship group that had on the enrollment 40 to 50 people to a fellowship group that has under 20 people. And that allows for more intimacy. And that strengthens the relationships. And at this stage, our plan is still to rotate these groups every year. So running them roughly from the fall through the spring with a break in the summer and beginning new groups each fall. So that's something we want to continue to work on. And we want to encourage you, if you've not been in the fellowship groups, to participate in that this year. And if you've not been in the men's or ladies' groups or the youth group or some of the singles groups that are emerging, we would encourage you to connect in those ways. The last thing for fellowship that we want to work on is mobilizing the members for community service. So the idea here, we mentioned this in our fellowship groups this year, that we all wanted to have a project to work on. And this was a new concept and an idea for us to think about. And we did a great job with the shoeboxes. And just, I was blown away and very encouraged with the work that Wendy and many others did to organize that. But to see the front of the church covered with shoeboxes was fantastic. But I also want us to think about what are some local things we can do, not just global, sending shoeboxes to the other side of the world, but what are some things right here in Alpharetta or in Canton or Woodstock or Cumming, some of the towns that we live in that our church can have a footprint in. And that will be an area for the fellowship group to really work at as we think about that. There's much more that could be said on this, but we don't want to go all night. But this is just to sort of whet your appetite for what we have done, what is happening, and what we hope to happen in the next year. The next area that we want to consider is discipleship. So discipleship has been one of the strongest areas of our church. And again, to rehearse our definition, this means that we would grow in the knowledge of the truth and in application of grace. And the reason I make a distinction there between knowledge and application is because our human heart leans toward knowledge, and we happen to be a church that is particularly gifted and interested in that area. But knowledge is not enough. The knowledge must land in our hearts and work out through our lives in application. And this is something that our discipleship should always point to. So as one of the strongest areas of our church, I believe we've accumulated a lot of knowledge, and we do a great job with that, starting with the children and children desiring God, through the teenagers learning Bible doctrine, and right on through our whole program. And we offer in our discipleship some other ways to get even more trained and to increase in these ways. I just want to hold up as a visual reference our Journey to Maturity notebook and let you know 9 people have been through this year. That means one-to-one meetings where a mentor has taken another person through the journey to maturity and just covering basic Bible doctrine and using it as an occasion to talk life on life. And there's been much fruit in our church. There have been far more than 9 people over the years that have gone through it. And we want to encourage everyone to consider going through it if you have not. And we want to encourage you to invite someone to take through it. So that means if you're a mature Christian who's already done it, would you consider going through it with a young adult or someone else that has not done it? And that's how it's worked well in our church, and we want it to continue to do that. Also, in terms of discipleship, where we are now, we have about 80% of our kids and teenagers participating in our Sunday school, which is a huge portion of discipleship. We only have 25%, and I'm using round numbers, of adults. Now, to be fair, we also have a high number of adults that are helping with set up, and they're making sure that this room is ready for us. We have quite a few involved in the worship team, and they're practicing during the Sunday school time. But we have some room to grow in terms of adult participation. And I'm not saying that those who are helping with setup and music need to pull back from that. I'm just saying there are others that are just not engaged at all, and we need to find some ways to help with that. So as we think about some strategies moving forward, the first thing we want to work at is assimilating newcomers into membership. So that means not cajoling or offering free toolboxes and other sets that the bank might offer when you open a checking account in the 90s, to show my age. But we want to encourage people to move toward membership so they can fully engage with us and we with them, and that we can expand our ministry. And Pastor will talk a little bit more about this under the area of evangelism, but we have some gaps in this that we need to close, and we want to work at that. The other priority this year is to cultivate more formal and informal discipleship. That relates in part to Journey to Maturity. By formal discipleship, I mean going through a curriculum like that, or going through a book that addresses a specific need or a topic that someone is struggling with or has questions about. But in informal discipleship, we want to always encourage people to meet more one-to-one and family-to-family, just sharing life together. And there's no program for that. There's no checklist or spreadsheet that we're going, have the so-and-sos gotten together with the other so-and-sos? There's no tracking of that. We just want to have a culture of life-on-life living that is intentional and is talking about Christ and what he's doing in our lives and helping one another parent and grandparent and helping one another through the valleys of illness and death and all the other things that are a part of life. The third priority for this is we want to increase participation in Sunday school. So specifically this year, we reorganized the adult Sunday school. We divided it into six units with six classes, and those were covering areas of theology, Christian living, and Bible content. And we want to continue that pattern. What I'd also like to see us add is multiple adult Sunday schools. So we could have two adult Sunday school classes going at the same time. And that will tie in later when we talk about evangelism. But we will have some opportunities to reach people that may not be like us, that may not be where we are on the journey of faith and maturity, that may need other topics addressed in a different sequence. So it would be great if we could grow our Sunday school. And I would just want to encourage you, I'm not going to guilt trip anyone because life is fluid and we have different demands at different times, but do consider participating in Sunday school either as a class member or even as a teacher. And there are opportunities for that across the age levels as well. Well, we next want to talk for a couple minutes about service. And service is one of those terms in church that most people think the definition is stack chairs. And we do a lot of chair stacking every Sunday. And if you've not been involved in that, Bob Tinkle, who's standing in the back, is always looking for more volunteers. And we're grateful for those. And as an aside, this is extra bonus material. For our summer schedule, setup is at 9 a.m. So if you are on the setup team, you get to sleep in a little bit, and you can come at 9 to do that, and we'll remind you of that later as well. But it's far more than stacking chairs. Service in our context and according to the Bible is really giving generously of our time, our abilities, and our resources. So this covers far more than just physical labor. And this is an area in our church where we have certainly given of ourselves and our time, but it's also an area of our church where we need to make a turn from internal service to external service. So what I mean by that is we have a great opportunity to get engaged in our community. And in a way, borrowing the author of Hebrews' words in chapter 1, verse 14, we need to serve unbelievers like the angels do. Hear what Hebrews says. Are not the angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? That's an interesting use of verb tense there that he said they're ministering to people that will. They haven't yet, but they will. And God has ordained that. And we also have an opportunity to serve in specific ways in our community through our church for the benefit of people who may inherit eternal life. And I say may because we don't know as certainly as God does. But it is a responsibility that we have. So as we do that this year, one of the things that will help us is we want to continue to develop our deacon ministry. You probably remember, but last year we only had one deacon, Rich Myers, who carried the full weight of the diaconate on his shoulders. Earlier this year, you elected four additional men to serve in that role and capacity. And I just want to tell you, behind the scenes, they've been working very hard on your behalf, even pulling off this meal tonight, running errands, doing other things, more than just moving white chairs. They've also been helping in some other ways, and they meet regularly to discuss those. That also means they're going to come and approach you with things that they need you to help do. So I want you to welcome that invitation as an opportunity and serve with them. But we also are asking the deacons to find 2 to 4 areas in our community where we as a church can plug in. Now, it's not to say that you are not free to serve anywhere you want in the community. you are. But as a church, we can only pick a handful of things that we can emphasize and do together. And we're asking the deacons to help us organize that so that we can present those to the fellowship groups as ways that we can engage and become familiar with people in our community and meet some practical needs. So we're open to suggestions on that, just as we said in the fellowship group. But we also want you to be sensitive and ready to respond when we do have those plans laid out and the deacons present that to us as we move ahead. So that overlaps with my point. I was just ahead of my slide, identifying the projects. And then the last is that we want to equip more team leaders for effective service. So that just means Scott and I in particular want to invest in the leaders of our church. And that's more than elders and deacons. That's people who are leading other ministry areas in our church and just encouraging them, coming alongside them, and giving them the practical tools of managing volunteers and some of the other things that go with church work, and basically developing a continued culture of every member ministry. And again, it's an outgrowth of Paul's words in Ephesians, where we are equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So specifically, that means the deacons have not been elected to do all the hard work around Grace Church. The deacons are actually helping us organize and lead some of the hard work of Grace Church, along with the elders and the pastors and many of you who are serving. And I just want to thank you as I conclude this section for all the things that you do as a part of Grace Church, from the fellowship groups and the fellowship, the men's groups, the ladies' groups, the youth group, and on. As well as thank you for the things in discipleship that are happening that we know about and things that we don't know about. And we may never, but they're making an eternal kingdom impact as you show someone Christ and Christ-likeness. And then thank you for your service. So I've made light a little bit of stacking white chairs, but I really do appreciate that you take that burden off of Scott and myself, but especially Scott when he's preaching on Sundays, that he's not stressing out at 7 a.m. or earlier, figuring, how's this going to happen? How are those wet chairs going to get dry? And yet, even beyond that, there are many other ways that you serve, and we look forward to seeing how God is going to grow our church and our footprint in the community as we intentionally move out into what God is doing all around us. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Scott for the last two priorities.
Thanks, Nathan. Yes, thank you guys for setting up white chairs and pulling trailers. And hauling out these heavy tarps week after week after week. As we think about worship, that ties into the next section's worship. And in our bulletin, we've defined this very helpfully, simply, enjoying God-centered, joyful, reverent praise, prayer, and music. So that's a mouthful, and there's a lot of depth we could drill down into under every one of those adjectives. But this segues off of service, because think about it. We've been here how many years? You know? 17 years as a church, and how many of those in this location? 16 in this location. The first year we were meeting at a hotel off of North Point and Haynesbridge Road in the Hilton Garden Inn there, and we're grateful for that, and we had baptisms in the pool, and it was heated in November. We were shocked, but I was happy. But think about where we've been over 17 years. Some of you have been here all those years. Some of us have been here just a few years. Some of you are brand new in the church. And as everything works, and as our church has as well, we've grown and we've shrunk and we've grown and we've shrunk. And some people have come and some people have gone. And lately also, some have moved away and some have moved on. And we have felt that. We know, as Nathan mentioned earlier, one of the very, very first category was, does anyone remember the first category? Fellowship, that we talked about tonight. Fellowship. When Nathan came on staff, we were very, very open and public and clear that one of the key areas of need that we felt in our church was to cultivate more fellowship and to strengthen relationships. And that remains the case. And we have taken some very important first steps, but we have needed to do that for a while. And we've needed to cultivate more fellowship, deepen relationships, just intertwine our lives much more beyond the Sunday morning service. And that's important for us as a church in particular, because the way our church is made up, we have folks from Woodstock and Cumming and Marietta and Alpharetta and Canton and Sandy Springs as well, now that you're down there, brother. But we are sitting in a spot where we're like the hub of the wagon wheel. And so that makes our fellowship and the integration of our lives a little more challenging. And so we've been working really hard this last year at making some headway at integrating our lives much better. And so there's still work to be done there, as we said. Fellowship is still on the agenda. All of these areas are on the agenda. You think about where we're at now these days as a church. We've grown and shrunk. And right now we average about 120 in Sunday morning attendance. Now some Sundays it's a little higher, and then some holiday weekends it's lower, and so that brings the average down. But about 120, and so we want to face that and address that in our worship. There's a couple little things here that are going to tie in with the next category, but where are we going to go next? One of the things we want to do is launch a welcome team for newcomers. And so we're currently working already on starting a team of volunteers that would help us welcome not only you each Sunday, but newcomers into the church. So as we come into this campus, you think about what it's like as a newcomer coming onto this campus. You think, where do I turn out of the roundabout? And we got signs up. And then when you get down here, you've got to walk a little ways to get down to this foyer, into the gym. And then when you get in here, you have a decision to make. Do I go down the stairs? Do I take a left into the theater? Do I come here? Or where do my kids go? What about Sunday school and nursery? Oh, that's another building, right? And so you can't know all that coming on because there's a lot. So we want to have some volunteers. And if you want to volunteer for this, talk to Nathan. Or talk to me, and we'll get you involved in this. But we want to have a welcome team. That every Sunday, there are people here recognizing, hey, you're new. Hey, how can I help you? What's your name? And gathering some information and walking with them and getting their kids. Just like when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and you ask, where are the fill in the blank? And they always say, let me show you, right? Or Publix is good at this. And I always go, no, just tell me, right? I'll just tell me. No, I'll come with you. And so we're going to be like that. So we need some help with that. So we want to launch a welcome team for newcomers that will just give a really make it easy for people to come in, figure out where they're supposed to be, make them feel welcome. Now, let me just add some bonus material here. The truth of the matter is, we're all the welcome team, right? Every one of us are the welcome team at some level. So that's the way it should be. So when you see a new person come in or someone you don't recognize, make it a point in your mind to break away from what you're doing and go greet that person, go meet that person. And let me just go ahead and give you permission right now to overwhelm them with handshakes or a hug or a, hey, how are you? My name is, hey, why don't you join us for lunch today? Overwhelm our visitors with a welcoming, warm heart. And someone was telling me tonight that they had some friends that had come this morning, and she was sharing, hey, they came in, and they were already here, and man, people were already talking to them, and our church is really friendly. And I said, I'm glad you said that. I was afraid you would say that no one talked to them, because I didn't know what she was going to say. But you did well, church, so you did really well on that this morning. So, but beyond just the everybody's a welcome team member, we want to have a dedicated team that's specifically doing that and as it were holding their hand as they come in and helping them know who we are, what we are as a church, where to go. To that end, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Over the last 18 months, we've had multiple visitors. Think about this. Maybe you can identify some of these people in your mind, and maybe as a snapshot. Some of you have good memories. Over the last 18 months, we've had visitors come into the church, and we've had a number of them, and they're not coming back for a second visit. Have y'all noticed this? Anybody noticing this? Okay. Well, that's a challenge we need to address. And one of the ways is figuring out, you know, how to either gather their information, right? Who are you? How can we get in touch with you? Would you like us to get in touch with you? And so it's actually unusual for people to visit a church and then for it to go on that long, that many times, and people not come back for a second visit. So that tells you, to use Nathan's word, there's a gap here that we need to close. So I hope you see that. We just need to connect with visitors much more intentionally. That's the point that we're trying to make. Much more intentionally. Okay? So that's one of the things. That's related to the worship service. Along with that, let me switch gears here to the second point. We want to improve the aesthetic quality of the gym. Now, we've been here a long time. We've been meeting in the gym for a number of years now. We used to be in the theater. It comes with a lot of challenges in here. The audio, as Al will tell you, is terrible in here, and it's a challenge. But we're limited in terms of what we can do with this space and that we worship in. I mean, we can't paint over Mustang Country and and the distracting fire extinguisher and the hand sanitizer and all these rosters of who's the top wrestler and basketball player and things like that. We can't paint over those things and all those things, you know, that distract you every Sunday, right? And these signs above my head. And we can't do anything about that. And so, honestly, what we want to do is just find a simple way to cover it back here, just to put some kind of backdrop that's simple. Now, I know the setup team right now is going, wait a minute. Trust me, the reason we don't have it now is because of that very thought in my heart about the setup team, is why we don't have it already. So we've been talking and doing a lot of thinking. I have with a couple of guys in the church about how could we do this in the simplest, most lightweight, quick up, quick down way. And the pipe and drape that was up last week, the school does, that looks really simple and easy. And I will tell you, that will make you sweat. It is hard work to get that up. That was 30 minutes worth of work to get it up. Well, we didn't do it, but I can tell you that from experience. It's hard work. So we've got some other things cooking in the oven on this. So just bear with us, setup team. Maybe we'll just assign it to the visuals team. You guys that need a projector, use your job. Now I've started a rivalry. Forgive me, guys, but we want to do that. Another one of the reasons is to reduce the distractions. But it just will look better. It'll help us. But we also are on the edge of wanting to do some video. Maybe to video the service or video the sermons and get part or all of that on the web somehow. And so that. And by the way, that's not coming from me. That's coming from others in the church wanting to do that. And so that's not a self-promotion thing, so please understand that as I say that. It's simply wanting to get the truth out there, get the word out there. So to do that, you need a few little things like that to make that work. So the ultimate point of that is to reach more people. So it's not just to, you know, try to look like some other church. That's not the point. The point is how can we make it easier for people to hear and experience and engage in what we're doing here. Or if they're not here, what we're sending out to the world from what they see and hear in this place. So, but that leads me to another issue, and that's this third one, is we want to begin fundraising and a strategy for our own location. Now I hear the setup team going, yes, right? Finally. So this is, we want to meet in our own space as soon as possible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last year, we made a strategic decision to add staff before we acquire property. In our minds, this was never an either-or proposition. It's not staff or property. It's what's the sequence that needs to happen in order to get both done for the sake of ministry. So we made a strategic decision to add staff before we acquire property. Nathan is here on staff, and I thank you, church, for taking that step and are giving toward that. And if you guys have embraced Ian Crystal and the kids and loved them, and he has hit the ground running. And I mean, we've been running hard now, so we're already tired now, aren't we? There's a lot. And so even as we give this tonight, I'm thinking, we got a lot of work, more work to do. There's a lot on the table. I just want to let you know that the elders are right now in the stages of developing a strategic plan to acquire property and move to our own location. Now, what that looks like, we don't know yet. We don't have a property in mind. We don't have a place yet. But we're developing a strategy to get there. Mainly, we need, and we're on the front end here of this here, is researching what kinds of locations, what kind of properties are available. And as we think about that, I just want to be very clear with you that that doesn't mean necessarily that step one is to buy a piece of dirt, piece of land, okay? We are aware and would be quick to jump at an opportunity to meet in a place that we could retrofit to our needs, that we just remodel. It'd be cheaper per square foot. So we'll see what's out there. And we know this, all the things that come to bear on this question, like distance people are traveling, because we sit here, as it were, at the hub of the wagon wheel, and we realize there are families coming from different directions. So all these things are coming into play in our mind. But we just want you to know this is not off of our mind. This is more and more in our mind. And so we've been here 16 years, 17 years of church. We've been mobile, and we want to move ahead. Now, there are some things that have to happen in order for us to do that, one of which, and this is not the only part of it, the next category is a big part of it. Is fundraising. It's to begin fundraising for our own location. So we are going to have to raise more funds. Now, you remember that over the last 7 years, we have been giving and giving and giving over and above the budget to spread the kingdom of God in Bhutan, to teach those church leaders there. We said at the very beginning of that whole process that we wanted to give, and it shall be given unto us. We wanted to live by faith in that principle, that we were going to give, and we gave hundreds of thousands of dollars that were, at that time, being, we were asking, hey, give extra to the building fund, the property fund, whatever you want to call it. And we said, let's stop doing that and let's relieve and not ask the people to give to the building fund and to Bhutan at the same time. So we gave to the other side of the world. And we've paused that for now. And we said that when we hired staff, we need to invest in us for a while because that was a real need. And one of the ways we needed to invest in ourselves was to add staff so we could address real areas of weakness that we have as a church. Another area that we need to invest in ourselves, as it were, is to move toward property. So we are going to research, we're doing that, researching the best way to try to to raise funds to move toward our own location. So I just want you to know that's on the plate, on the table. Please pray for us about this. This is huge wisdom questions that we're faced with, huge discernment questions. We don't know what the future, we don't know what the Lord has for us or where we're going to be, or we don't know how long we're going to be here still. We don't. So don't ask me because I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball and I'm not a charismatic and can tell the future. Okay? So, but our prayer is that we can move there and we need to, we're beginning the steps. Okay? So I just want to let you know that. Now, that ties into the next category. It's not just about money. It's about this flow chart again, so all you nerds will be happy. Here we go. Here's our flow chart, but it's blue this time, okay? We want to think about this flow chart in terms of evangelism now, okay? What is evangelism? Evangelism is taking the gospel to our neighbors and to the nations, okay? We've been taking the gospel to the nations. And so as you look back at our flow chart, but we've not done the best job at taking the gospel to our neighbors. So our main entry point is way up top at that blue arrow, or that green arrow pointing down into the worship cast. The main entry point for people into the life of our church. And so what we are wanting to do, really focus on the coming year especially, is creating new entry points into our church, okay? And so, whoops, I hit the wrong button. What we want to do is add some arrows. If you have fellowship groups, and we already have those in place, but we want to say to you and emphasize more and more to invite people to fellowship groups. Invite your neighbors, invite the people down the street from where you're having your meeting. Invite your coworkers to these. Some people will come to a fellowship group and hang out and have dinner and have a conversation before, way before they'll show up to a worship service. So we need to think like that, is using our fellowship groups as a way of getting outsiders inside, okay? Not only fellowship group, but youth group. You know, Sam meets with the youth twice a month. And it's in the evening, it's easy, it's fun. Been to those. He does a fantastic, fantastic job. It's fun. It's very nourishing. It's the truth is being discussed. And music is great, as you know it would be with Sam and Brandon and the guys involved and Jeff on the percussion. But invite people to those youth group meetings. Invite people to the men's and the ladies' groups. We want to make these more entry points, okay? Even to our classes, here's another arrow, our Sunday school classes. And we want to add some kinds of classes that will happen throughout the year as an occasional thing, which I'll talk about in a moment. But we want to invite outsiders into the church even through that initial entry point. And so one of the things that we need to do is add a big area in the life of our church. And this is the missing element, really, in the life of our church, is this whole area of service to the community and evangelism to the local area, okay? So this is an area that we really need to become a primary entry point. And notice that arrow now pointing up into that box. So notice we've gone from one arrow, we want to move to multiple arrows. We want to really focus this year on evangelism and service as an entry point for unbelievers, to hear the gospel, to hear gospel conversations with us. This is, by the way, this is why we want to do community projects. It's not just so we can pat ourselves on the back that we fed the homeless or whatever it is. We're doing that so we can rub shoulders with unbelievers and have conversations that we pray will lead to gospel conversations and gospel conversions. That's the point of it, ultimately, okay? Not to put a notch on our belt that, yeah, we got another one. Not that kind of pressure or not that kind of mentality, but just think about you. Imagine yourself the first time when you first came to Grace, what you were like. Imagine, try to remember that. When you first came to Grace Church, whether that was recently or many years ago, I mean, where were you in your walk with Christ? Now, some of you were not a Christian when you came. Some of you already were. And think about how you've grown and how you've matured over that time, from then until now. Now, I want you to think about something. Not everybody that comes in the church is going to come in just right at the level where you're at. And people that you need to be inviting are in a way different place spiritually than you are at right now, spiritually. I mean, consider how you can invite new people and how you can minister to new people that God may be sending to our church who are on a way different level spiritually than you are. Way different place in their life. Listen, they may not be Christians yet. It's okay, invite them. Minister to them. They may be immature Christians. They may not be like us. That's unsettling. That's difficult for us. We love to be around people who are just like us, think like us, vote like us. Right? They may not be like us. That's the point of the kingdom of God. That's the point of the gospel. It's not to make them like us, but to make them like Christ. So find them where they're at. And there may be people who may be really ready to grow with us. We've prayed many times over the year, Lord, send us people who are hungry. Hungry for the gospel, hungry for the word, and we'll feed your sheep. So what I'm getting at here is basically this, is that we want us all to invite people to more than just the Sunday morning service, more than just the worship service. See, because right now, we are an inward-facing church, and we have to turn our hearts, and it has to start there, And we have to turn our efforts toward being more outward facing. We have to. Listen, folks, Nathan started off well when he said that, you know, we are a well-educated church theologically. We've got the truth in our heads. We're a well-taught church from the children all the way up. And that's why many of you are here. It's because of the teaching and the preaching and that kind of thing, because that's you love God's word, and I commend you for that. And that's one of the main things I love about you, is that you love Christ and you love his word. But we can't just get spiritually bloated on knowledge and information. We can't just think about us. We have to take that truth and go outward, okay? So we have to become less inward facing and more outward facing. And so if we were to go to our slide with our definition to take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations, again, we've done a good job taking the gospel to the nations, but we've got to do a good job of taking the gospel to our neighbors. And so we want to create a growing culture of evangelism. By that, we simply mean this. We want to shift away from merely maintaining what we've got to engaging the mission of being witnesses to this community. To this community. Folks, we need to bloom where we've been planted. For now, we don't know where the Lord will put us next as far as a worship location, but for now, this is where God's planted us. And we need to bloom where we're planted. And we need to turn our hearts toward the mission of being witnesses to this community and the communities where you live, if it's a little further from here. Okay? A culture of evangelism. And there are ways you want to do that. As the year goes, we'll be sharing that with you. One of the things we want to do this year is promote four major Sunday events. Four major Sundays of the year where we want to encourage you and really have you invite outsiders to church on these special Sundays. And we want to be able to then follow up with them, okay? And let me give you what these four Sundays are. They're New Year's, Easter, back to school, and Christmas Eve, Christmas. Think about what I just said to you, how those tend to fall on the calendar and how people's life rhythms tend to operate around those dates. New Year's, people are making resolutions and they're thinking about, oh, I need to make my life better, or I need to start something new, and everybody starts exercising or dieting or reading books or doing more of this or less of that. And people, so there's just this natural time when people are making changes. And then Easter is an easy one, right? I mean, we should be inviting people to come to the Lord's house on Easter Sunday to hear the gospel. And so that's, we already tailor that day for that purpose. And then back to school, again, around August is when people are thinking, again, these are natural changes, times when people are making changes, when people are starting new things or just making adjustments in their life, and the people are more open or receptive to engaging. And then at Christmas is, again, like Easter in a way, where people are more open to coming on a Christmas Sunday or even a Christmas Eve. And we were surprised when we had the Christmas Eve gathering at my home this year, how really popular it was and how many of you really craved that. We thought, whoa, here's an opportunity even maybe to reach outsiders to something like that. They might come to something like that, whereas they won't come oftentimes to a normal Sunday morning service. But we can get the gospel into them. So here's what we want to do. We want to emphasize these days in a number of ways. One is not only internally, but we want to emphasize it externally as well. For example, we want to raise the profile of these days, even using social media. Okay, so we're starting a strategy here to try to utilize social media, even advertising on social media, and to target people in the area and just make people aware that we're here. And in fact, and just raise the profile of the church and invite people to come. Let them know we're here and offer things to them that might interest them. Along with these Sundays, not only coming, but we're thinking that we want to offer some seminars, really practical kinds of things that people maybe who do or don't go to church would need help with, like anxiety or parenting or finances or fill in the blank. So we're thinking along these lines that these are ways people might want to engage and say, hey, I need help in that area. You guys might can help me, sort some things out in my life. So just and as a way to engage people And so we want to promote it on social media and beyond. And I'll just mention this too. Nathan said that next Sunday we'll be releasing the budget for the next coming year. And I just want to tell you ahead of time that we're putting increases in the budget, especially in this area for local evangelism. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. And the beautiful thing is the Lord has given us the money to do these things. And so read the cover letter that comes with the budget next Sunday, and you'll have that in your hands for really for weeks, and then we'll come back and talk about it in mid-June. But the Lord's given us the money to do this, and we need to use the Lord's money for the Lord's work, okay? The Lord's blessed us with some extraordinary gifts over the last year that blew our minds, and it's a lot of money, and we want to use it and not bury our talent in the ground. So we're going to be putting some money into especially this area, okay? But it's not just spending money that gets us where we need to be. It's actually being evangelistic. I just want to put a goal out to you that we would pray and work toward 4 new converts to Christ over the coming year. 4. Think about that. Now, you know, deep down I want to go, what, 4? 40 maybe, right? But this is doable. Now, we know this is, we plant, we water, the Lord gives the increase. We understand that. So you understand where we're coming from theologically, so I don't have to hedge my language here with you or, you know, explain all that. But there is a ratio that's helpful to know. It's the 1 to 28 ratio. Now, you've probably never heard of that ratio. But that ratio is what guys who study church ministry say is typically what we could typically expect for a church to try to win to Christ each year. The 1 to 28 ratio is 1 convert for every 28 people in the church. We'll say, I don't think you should legislate it. It's not legislating. The simple thing is, don't you think out of 28 people could lead 1 person to Jesus in a year's time? And so if you take the average of our church, in fact, I was joking with Nathan, if you take the average of our attendance of our church of 120 people per Sunday, it's actually 4.3 converts, if you do the math. But 4 converts. So let's pray for this, and let's think about this, and let's open our mouths to this end, that God would give us 4 new converts this year in our church. And listen, let me say one more thing, and then we're going to show you our surprise video. And that is this, that as we think about growing as a church, that the way we're thinking about it is not that God would send us, transfer people who are just disgruntled from where they're at to where we are. But wouldn't it be awesome if we really got serious about developing a culture and a heart for evangelism where the growth of our congregation came from new people coming to Jesus, right? I mean, aren't there still people in this city who will believe? Well, we got to find them. We got to go to them. And we can't just come here and be inward focusing. We've got to get out. And so that's why we're asking the deacons, help us get out. And we're asking you, engage with the relationships you've got with people outside, the people you do business with, that you play sports with, that you do whatever with, that you would invite them so they can hear the gospel. It's not just to grow our church. We just want them to hear the gospel, that they might be born again. So we're not driven by numbers. What we're driven by here is, Jesus, we want to give you glory. And one of the main ways we need to do that this year as a church is to focus on evangelism. So that's going to be our main thrust as we go forward. Okay, so now, Nathan, if you want to transition, I know you got to do some juggling on the computer here, and then we'll finish up. So enjoy this. Bring me back up. As you think about what I just said about sharing the gospel, let this be a motivation to your heart to do that.
Started going to church at a very young age, but around like the age of 5, I think we stopped going to church. Had some church hurt, never went back. I still consider myself to be a good person, and I consider myself to be more moral than other professing believers that I knew, so I thought I was fine. You know, my family went off to a comedic religion, you know, African spirituality. They really, supported their ethnicity. Dad, my brothers wanted to go to the Million Man March in Washington, D.C. So I was like, okay, I don't know much about it, but hey, I'll go just to be with my family. The one thing I took from there was I finally got a sense that there was something bigger than me out there. I started questioning. I went to a friend of mine that I went to high school with, really close friend, and, you know, I always professed to be a believer, but, you know, we were still in the world together, you know, still did sin together. I saw over a course of a couple months, like a radical change in their life through their Facebook page. Who is this person? Like, I've known you all your life. I've noticed something has happened to you, something has changed in your life, you know. What happened? You know, so I started asking them those same questions that I've had, you know, for decades, you know. So, you know, if God is this, why is this? You know, they would answer all my questions. And, you know, even if they didn't know the answers, they pointed me to the right direction. They pointed me to scriptures. And I was like, okay, I can see where you're going. This makes sense. But then it's like, why should I even believe this? You know, why should I even believe this? The Bible is real. Like, all these translations, all these different, you know, everybody has their own interpretations of it. You know, why should I even believe what I'm reading here? They sent me to this sermon from Vodi Bakum, and I'll never forget the quote he said of why he believes the Bible. You know, he said the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents.
I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents
written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses.
They report to us supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies.
And claim that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin.
And claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin.
October 19th, I was driving home from work and, just driving down 400, listening to a Paul Washer sermon. And, it just hit me. You know, I just driving home, I just, you know, just broke down crying, like, realizing, you know, this God is holy, you know, God is perfect, God is sinless, and I'm not.
God is holy in his moral excellence. God is holy in his love. God is holy in absolutely everything he is, because in absolutely everything he is, there is no one holy like the Lord.
You know, reading through the scripture, you know, it speaks of his love and you know, sending his son to do what we couldn't do. You know, he came to this earth and lived the life that we should have lived. And on that cross, he bore the wrath of God that we deserve on that cross. He bore it. He bore it for his people. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was, you know, in one breath I'm crying, another breath I'm rejoicing. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, why has no one ever told me about this? Like, I've lived 30 years of my life and no one has ever told me this. You know, I've lived around so many believers and no one ever took the time to share this with me. But it's right here. Like, it's in the same book you all got, everybody's reading. Like, how do you not share this to everybody? Even my old friends now, they see me and it's like, you know, you're no fun anymore. You know, you don't do the things we do anymore. And I know they can't understand it, but it's like, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to anymore. It's not that I'm boring. I just don't find those things fun anymore. They're not fun. Like, I want to read my Bible, you know? I want to study theology, you know? I want to worship God. I want to praise God. I want to glorify God. And that's what brings me the most joy. You know, I don't hate you for, you know, what you believe, you know, but I still, in a loving way, want to show you a better way. You know, do what, you know, took 30 years of my life for someone to do for me. I want to do for others. Something God uses, something as simple as a Facebook page, you know, to see a radical change in someone's life. God tells us to glorify him in all that we do. And Facebook, those social media matters. Social media matters. What you post, it matters. Just seeing a change life through a Facebook page led me to to want to, it led me to Christ, you know, led me to one of his children that shared the gospel with me, you know, and now just wanting to be this messenger of reconciliation to everybody that I come across now.
How many of you, that's the first time you've heard his testimony? Yeah, he's here tonight. Thank you, brother, for doing that. And thank you, Benjamin, for recording and editing that and finding those clips. Isn't that awesome? So thank you for saying it so well right there at the end, Akeem. Why wouldn't we share this with everybody we know, right? And so that's what we want to begin doing more and more of, is to engage unbelievers and not just stay in our little believer enclaves, but to engage unbelievers. And so as we finish up, let me close with our goals here. Let me just this is just the recap real quick. We want to focus energy and resources, that means money and time and effort and all that, on evangelism, local evangelism. We've got to do this, folks. We've got to do this. This is the Great Commission. And so this is where we want to give our greatest energy in the coming year, is in this weakest area of our ministry. So we'll just admit that together. This is the weakest area of our ministry, and it has to become one of our strongest, okay? We, along with that, we want to raise our church's profile in the community by increasing our community service and community engagement. And we some things we haven't even mentioned yet tonight, you'll hear from us about. So we want to do that. And social media, as Akeem pointed out, is part of that. And but that's not it. It's us being out there with people, okay? And we'll just give you a hard number here. We want to see the Lord increase our church attendance to averaging more than around 150 per week over the coming year. We would love to see the Lord bring us back to where we are bumping up against 200. We pray the Lord will help us do that over the next 3 years, okay? So these are just some goals for us to think about. Our worship attendance averaging, going from 120 to 130. So that's doable, folks. And that'll help us do a lot of the other ministries that we want to accomplish as well and see those succeed. And then last, we want to promote a strategy for finding a church property. And again, we don't have a time frame for you on this or when we're going to go there. We don't know. But we want to begin the research and the process. So what that means very tangibly right now is we want to increase our regular giving to meet our budget or even exceed our budget, and as well as raising additional monies for church property, okay? And the evangelism component allows us to get there as well, because the more people, the more we're able to do together. And that's true about all these categories, okay? So with all that said, that's what we want to put your mind to. I know maybe that in some ways this is very simple. I mean, if you would have seen the larger document we boiled this down to, you'd be thankful for the simplicity. But at the same time, I realize that you're drinking from the fire hydrant a bit. But what we want to show you is that there's a plan, and here it is. And we hope you'll take the journey with us in these five areas of fellowship and discipleship and service and worship and evangelism. So let's ask the Lord to use us in these ways, and then we'll after we pray, we'll give directions about the tear down and we'll be dismissed. So pray with me. Father, thank you for the ability tonight for these sweet people to come together and share a meal and to together hear what's on our heart as pastors and as elders together moving forward as a church. So Lord, I pray that you would move us from merely maintaining to having a heart for the mission field and to accomplish these things that we believe you've set for us. And so Lord, would you give us the heart for this? Would you give us the energy for this? Would you give us a mind for the work as they did in Nehemiah's day? Lord, the people had a mind for the work and they accomplished great things. So give us a mind for the work. Give us joy in the work. Help us to throw our hearts and our time and our resources into these things for the sake of your glory and your kingdom. Lord, none of this is for our fame and for our acclaim or for our glory, but Lord, we simply want to bring maximum glory to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, in our church. And so I pray, Father, I pray you would give us 4 converts to Christ this coming year. And I pray, Father, you do even exceeding abundantly all above all that we can ask or think. And so would you now bless us to do these things, that Christ would be glorified, the kingdom would spread, and that many would come to know the joy of knowing Jesus that we have discovered. And so, Lord, open our mouths boldly that we might speak as we ought to speak as we dismiss from here tonight. Give us opportunities even this very week, beginning now, to share the gospel. Help us to recognize those opportunities and help us to take them. Holy Spirit, fill us so that we might do this work in your power. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.